It is Friday morning, which means that it is time for our Friday morning devotion. For the last number of weeks, we've been looking at 1 Corinthians, and this week we are in chapter 7, verses 17, and I hope to go through the rest of the chapter 17 through 40. I know that sounds long. I don't think it will be long. I think we'll be able to get right into it and get pretty quickly through the whole thing today, but good to be here with you today. I'm thankful that that we have good enough weather that I can sit outside here today and come to you from my backyard. So 1 Corinthians 7, verse 17, it reads like this. Let me go back to the beginning. If you were with me the last time, I should give you a little introduction. Basically, the last couple times we've been talking about a Christian view of sex, and we saw that there was basically two errors that the Corinthian church was falling into. On the one hand, they were falling into the error of believing in basically that sex was just one of merely, multiple appetites, and so it wasn't a big deal if you had sex with whoever you felt like having sex with, that, you know, if they would consent to doing it with you, then you did it. And that was kind of the way some people were addressing the issue, and Paul says, no, that's not proper, don't do that. At the same time, though, Paul also doesn't want them to be, to fall into the trap of being going into asceticism. He wants them to feel comfortable with sex as it's meant to be engaged in, which is as a married couple. It's meant for the marriage bed, so to speak. And so that was what he went over last time. Now, today, he's going to go a little bit more in depth about, relationships in general. He's going to begin doing that by talking about what one should do with their calling in life. And so he says in verse 17, "Only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him or her and to which God has called him. This is my rule in all the churches. Was anyone at the time of his call already circumcised? Let him not seek to remove the marks of circumcision. Was anyone at the time of his call uncircumcised? Let him not seek circumcision. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but keeping the commandments of God." Now, let me just note here, I'm very thankful that this is a part of the New Testament, that the requirement to be a faithful Christian is not that one must get circumcised or one must try to get uncircumcised, whatever that might look like. Paul's point here, though, is wherever you were called in life, if you were married when you were called, stay married. That was the context before this. If you were unmarried before, stay unmarried. And he's going to go into that a little bit more. He's not going to say it's a command to stay unmarried, but it is interesting how different Paul's sort of view of singleness and marriage is from especially the dominant Christian culture in America today, which tends to have a view that marriage and family can be almost the end-all be-all for faithful Christianity. Not so with Paul. Paul has a different view entirely. So he says, "Each one should remain in the condition in which he was called. Were you a bondservant when called?" Verse 21. "Do not be concerned about it." Now, this sounds tricky because he's basically telling somebody, you know, if you were offering yourself out as a bondservant to a home, well, don't worry about it. Stay there. Stay, you know, just continue doing the work. But then he says this, and this is something unique to Christianity very early on. "But if you can gain your freedom, avail yourself of the opportunity." So in other words, he's saying you don't have to stay there forever. You can avail yourself of freedom, but don't make it your primary concern. Make your primary concern being good in the calling that you're in right now. "For he who was called in the Lord as a bondservant is a freedman of the Lord. Likewise, he who was free when called is a bondservant of Christ." Ah, that's your ultimate master here, Paul says. And you ought to live with that in mind, that no matter what your employee status is at the moment that you've become a Christian, your primary function now is as a servant of God. That is your primary calling, as a bondservant of Christ. Verse 23, you were bought with a price. Do not become bondservants of men. So, brothers, in whatever condition each was called, there let him remain with God. Again, contextually, Paul's big idea, he's just talked to them about marriage and whether someone should stay with the wife or spouse that is not a believer that they have. And this time he's saying, whatever station you're in, stay there. Stay there. And now he's going to move on to some issues that he's gotten some questions about from the Corinthian church. He says, verse 25, now concerning the betrothed, or we might say engaged, the actual literal word here is in Greek is virgin, but it tended to be used to describe, and especially contextually here, somebody who was engaged to be married but had not gotten married yet. To the betrothed, I have no command from the Lord, so this isn't something that comes specifically from God to me, but I give my judgment as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. This is an interesting verse for a number of reasons. For one, Paul here in Scripture, which is God's word, is saying, I'm not delivering this to you because God told me to say this to you. I'm delivering this to you based on what I think is right. And then what do you know? Later on, this gets codified as God's word, and indeed, it is treated as God's word. And so it's an interesting little juxtaposition there. Here's what Paul's advice is. Verse 26, I think that in view of the present distress, it is good for a person to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be free. Are you free from a wife? Do not seek a wife. But if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a betrothed woman marries, she has not sinned. Do you see, Paul, again, Paul doesn't seem to be a very romantic man when it comes to the marriage relationship. He's like, yeah, you know, if you want to get married, you can get married. It's not sinful. That's his argument? Like, yeah, you're free if you want to. But by the way, if you're single, you're free to stay single. That's just as fine with Paul. Either one's fine. Fine by me, Paul says. And yet he makes this note as to why I think he's so sort of blasé about it. Yet those who marry will have worldly troubles, and I would spare you that. This is what I mean, verse 29. The appointed time has grown very short. From now on, let those who have wives live as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no goods, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings in it, for the present form of this world is passing away. Now we know in the early church, and frankly throughout all of church history, the church has believed that at any moment Christ could come back, that the world could end. We've been utterly reminded of that sort of possibility over this last year, as we face things that seem to be associated with world-ending kind of stuff. I mean, we're still in this sort of pandemic. And so this was certainly going on in the first century. And there may have been some persecution coming against the Corinthian church. We're not exactly sure, but it seems to be that there was some real trouble the church was facing. And Paul's saying, in light of all that, in light of the fact that you could be gone any day, that you could die any day, it's better not to invest yourself in things that are going to tie you down too much to this world. That's basically Paul's argument to the people in Corinth. It really is this sort of very anything else point of view about. Now, he doesn't say it's wrong to get married. He just says, well, listen to what he says. He continues his reasoning. Verse 32. I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. But the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife. His interests are divided. And the unmarried or betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit. But the married woman is anxious about worldly things, how to please her husband. I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. Again, Paul, this is just so striking. You know, when you think about all of the many, many, many ministries that have family in their name, that center their whole ministry in the Christian church in America around family, around marriage. How many conferences are about marriage and family and the significance of marriage and family, which are good, by the way, which are fine. This is not a critique of that. It is striking bits when you listen to Paul, because his concern is, I know what marriage brings, folks. This is what he's saying. I know what marriage and family bring. And what marriage and family bring, understandably, rightfully so, is anxiety and responsibility, because all of a sudden you're not just concerned about your own well-being, you're concerned about the well-being of another person. You're concerned about the well-being maybe of multiple people if you have children. And anybody who's married and has children knows that your sense of freedom to certain, like, sort of go on a mission trip whenever you feel like it, for whatever reason, well, that's not going to happen nearly as easy if you've got a family to take care of. There's a lot more to consider. And that's Paul's big idea here. And so Paul basically is like, I'm just going to be real with you. I wish all of you could just stay single. And what's his reasoning for why he even says you should get married? Well, if you burn with passion too much, I guess better to get married than to burn with passion for each other and give in to your lusts. Very, very unromantic view of of the marriage relationship. Nevertheless, I think you've got his logic. You see where he's coming from. And then he says this, verse 36, if anyone thinks that he is not behaving properly toward his betrothed, if his passions are strong, and it has to be, let him do as he wishes. Let them marry. It is no sin. There's that argument again. If you can't control yourself, then get married. But whoever is firmly established in his heart, being under no necessity, but having his desire under control, and has determined this in his heart to keep her as his betrothed, he will do well. So then, he who marries his betrothed does well, and he who refrains from marriage will do even better. Woo! So, again, contra the narrative that we are so used to hearing, Paul actually says it's better to remain single if you can. Now, again, most of us do not have the gift to remain single, and that's fine. Paul does not have a problem with that. But he says, ideally, it would be great if you could, because then you could just focus 100% of your life on serving the Lord. That's the logic of his argument. And then he concludes the chapter by saying this. A wife is bound to her husband as long as he lives. But if her husband dies, she is free to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord. So as long as she finds a believer, she's free to marry that person. Yet in my judgment, and here's Paul again saying stuff that's just scandalous and crazy to our modern Western ears, yet in my judgment, she's happier if she remains as she is, single. And it's as if Paul knows what he's saying here is controversial, because he concludes the chapter by saying, and I think that I too have the Spirit of God. It's like, hey, don't doubt this. Don't think that I'm talking crazy. I have the Spirit with me too. The Spirit hasn't left me, because I'm telling people that in an ideal world, they should try to remain single so that they can devote all of their lives to the Lord. That's Paul's argument here. So it's a fascinating juxtaposition from our modern way of thinking about marriage and family. Again, Paul has no problem with marriage and family. Paul, as a matter of fact, endorses it many times and gives instruction for how husbands and wives should seek to love each other and care for each other, how they should seek to raise children together. You can find that in Ephesians 5. You can find that in many other passages. But here the argument is, if you have to choose between one or the other and you can control yourself, what's better, remain single or married? And Paul comes down on the idea of remaining single so that your life might be set apart for the Lord. So, that's it for today's little Bible study from 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Ultimately, what Paul wants from us and what Paul wants from the Corinthian church is for their devotion to be single-minded and to be focused on what Christ has for them. So, and that is my prayer for us as well.